All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Swethy is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Robin Aroni is on. Christopher Arnott is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Hassle-Free TV is on. Prayer Works 2, I'll say it again, is on. Gritter Dunn is on. Wait Away is on. Judy Anita is on. Spoken 007 is on. Black Bar 201 is on. Alpha Acres is on. Granite 2468 is on. Keeper 1376 is on. General Plowman is on. Snoddot 311 is on. D9597 is on. Christopher Arnott is on. Milwaukee James is on. Let me see here. Salty Godads is on. JD Joy 25 is on. Deb Powell is on. And I just zipped the whole thing. Here we go. Getting myself back on. Standby world. All right. Back on the chat. Here we go. 23 Justin Blake is on. Tony Nuthead is on. Judy Anita is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Guitar Glenn is on. The great T1AU is on. Alpha Acres is on. Biggie 926 is on. Clean Sanchez is on. Let me see here. Boy 7 Howdy is on. Keyline 13 is on. Luann 5 is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Peg McGroin is on. Let me see here. Lisa Kinzer is on. 509-25 McDonald is on. Rafa 9821 is on. All right, love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. So we had a big drop of news. Somehow, I don't know why, during the Trump administration this happens, because it should have been dropped earlier. But anyway, it got dropped. Credit to Pam Bondi, because she's the one who dropped it, because it has to be her. Trump already said he was referring it to her. And I'm talking about the Robert Herr interview of Joe Biden. If everyone remembers, this was Joe Biden's document scandal. They put out, appointed a special prosecutor, Robert Herr, who then did the investigation into him, found that Joe Biden was a elderly man with a poor memory. Therefore, charges would not be applicable, which makes absolutely no sense, because I guess if you murder somebody and you have a poor memory and you're elderly, then I guess you can't be charged with murder. That made absolutely no sense, because Joe Biden was in possession of, in three separate locations, Penn Biden Center in Chinatown. Give me a China, Aaron.
China.
Because Penn Biden Center was built by China, and then you have him also in Chinatown. And then at his Rehoboth Beach mansion, where you had Hunter Biden coming in every night with a 67 Stingray full of Russian hookers and cocaine. Every night, past all of these boxes that weren't locked up or anything else. But somehow he didn't get charged. But charges were filed, you know, with a grand jury anyway, for Trump's alleged being in possession of classified documents, which he's allowed to be because he's president. And you have the Presidential Records Act, which enables him basically to declassify anything he wants. And also just makes the assumption that all the records that he has, he's allowed to have. Joe Biden had none of that, because all the records in his possession were from his days in the Senate and as a vice president, where he was also known for removing documents out of secured skiffs. So these were all, every single possession was a felony, but somehow, according to Robert Herr, who I'm not a big fan of, yeah, I like that this was released. It had nothing to do with her releasing it. And Merrick Garland refused to release these tapes of her interviewing Joe Biden. And they were, and for some reason, Merrick Garland, even though they're easily FOIA'd and there was no investigation, so they couldn't give you the usual excuse of it's an ongoing investigation. So they didn't have any excuses not to release them. But for some reason, under the Biden administration, Merrick Garland, who's supposed to be this apolitical, non-biased, impartial adjudicator, didn't release any of it. Not one thing. And he was actually found in contempt of Congress. But of course, who are you going to refer that criminal contempt charge to? Merrick Garland. So Merrick Garland didn't file on his own contempt charge, which, by the way, he still should be prosecuted. And if anybody has the mindset of we need to just move on and not be like the Democrats, just understand you're going to end up in federal prison. Because you're either going to make them swallow the syrup of Ipecac, in other words, make them live with their own policies and procedures, or they're going to continue to unleash them upon you. And I'm saying that not to those that are watching this podcast, unless you are somebody who works in Washington, D.C., who's subject to any incoming administration deciding to turn their DOJ on you. So Merrick Garland should be prosecuted for not releasing this and being in contempt of Congress, because he, in fact, was in contempt of Congress. And it was referred to his DOJ, and it's still sitting there. If it was referred to his DOJ, then it's still sitting there. And if Merrick Garland should be criminally prosecuted, you're like, Tom, that's just unprecedented. No, it's not. They opened up Pandora's box by prosecuting Flynn, prosecuting Stone, prosecuting Navarro, and prosecuting Bannon, and then prosecuting Donald Trump numerous times. So that's what I mean. The Pandora's box is wide open. Well, we can't ever let ourselves operate at their level. We're not. We're not going to lie. Was Merrick Garland commanded by Congress, subpoenaed by Congress to turn over? These are records that have nothing to do with anything. And he's refused to turn them over. He needs to be criminally prosecuted right now. And listen, if there's a good old boy system still up there where Bondi knows Merrick Garland, that somebody needs to get her out of the way then. Whatever it is. I'm not saying that's true. So far, Bondi's operated about a C-minus, something along those lines. But anyway, so these special prosecutor tapes that where he was interviewing Joe Biden, well, 4 minutes of them were released into the public today. Now, I want to remind everybody where Joe Scarborough was at when these interviews were actually going on. Play for me.
Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever. Not a close second. And I've known him for years. The Brzezinskis have known him for 50 years. If it weren't the truth, I wouldn't.
Now, that's a big fish video. Now, let's see Joe Scarborough, part of the Goebbels mainstream media, Mockingbird media, Pravda media, and just a stenographer for the left. Now, let's look at this video. It's a four-minute video. It's really good. I mean, you need to hear it. It's worth all 4 minutes. And just note all of the inconsistencies and the lack of memory of Joe Biden. So Joe Scarborough said, remember, F you if you don't agree. This is the best Biden ever cognitively. Townhall.com video. Play for me.
So during this time, we were living in Chambers Road, and there were documents related to the Penn Biden Center or the Biden cancer care shot or your book. Where did you keep papers that related to those things that you were actively working on?
Well, I don't know. This is what, 2017, 18, that period?
Yes, sir.
Remember, in this time frame, my son is either been deployed or is dying. And so it was, and by the way, there were still a lot of people at the time when I got out of the Senate that were encouraging me to run in this period, except the president. I'm not a mean thing to say. I mean, he just thought that she had a better shot of winning the presidency than I did. And so I hadn't at this point, even though I'm at Penn, I hadn't walked away from the idea that I might run for office again. So if I ran again, I'd be running for president. And so what was happening, though, when month ago died, May 30th, 2015 he died.
I'm not sure the months were, but I think that was that's right, Mr. President.
And what's happened in the meantime is that and Trump gets elected in November of 2016. All right. So, 2017 here.
That's when you left office, January of 2017. Yeah.
Okay, but that's when Trump gets sworn in.
Right,
January.
Right, correct.
Okay, yeah. Correct. And in 2017, Bo had passed, and this is personal. The genesis of the book and the title Promise Me Dad was I know you're all close with your sons and daughters, but Bo was like my right arm, and that was my left. These guys were a year and a day apart, and they could finish each other's sentences. And Bo, I used to go home on the train in the period that I was still in the Senate. Anyway, do you remember? There was pressure, not pressure. Bo knew how much I adored him. And maybe it sounds so. Everybody knew how close we were. There was not anybody in the world who wondered whether or not. Anyway. And so.
Sir, I'm wondering if this is a good time to take a break.
Let me just keep going to get it done.
He never answers the question the entire time. He meanders on and on and on about things that don't even matter, that are not germane to the question at all. The genesis of the book, Bo is his right arm, his kids were born a year and a day apart. What does that have to do with the following? Mr. President, where were the papers stored? That was the question. Not Bo is your right arm, not that Bo and Hunter were born a year and a day apart and they could read each other's minds and Bo was your right hand and all that had nothing to do with anything and it was all just obfuscation. Here's the actual dates because he said that in 2000, Robert Hur is asking him a question about where he was storing these classified documents. And he said it was around 2017, 2018 is what Biden answered him. This is around 2017, 2018. He says that this was the time that Bo was either dying or being deployed, which makes no sense in and of itself. And it's not demeaning towards Bo Biden and his tragic death, because it is a tragic death. However, this shows you the impairment of the president and his inability to serve and the nationwide cover-up, including by the man writing about it under his book, Original Sin. You're like, Tom, you talked about three nights in a row. Here comes number four. Jake Tapper and his book, Original Sin. When he's one of the original cover-up artists in this entire thing. Amazing how he's writing a book. But anyway, so he talks about it. He says, so Mr. Hur, you're speaking about the years 2017, 2018. Well, my son, Bo, was either being deployed or dying. That makes no sense because you certainly would be one or the other. And Bo died. He was deployed in 2008. And he died three or, depending on which year you're talking about, whether it's 17 or 18, he died 2 or 3 years prior to that. And which... 2 minutes later, Biden actually says when he died, 2015. Didn't remember the month, but he did remember the year. He remembered the month, sort of, but he didn't remember the year. I think that's what it was. So everything here is completely wrong or completely, obviously, lies. And when he said when he left office in January of 17, he was leaving the Senate. He was leaving the vice presidency, not the Senate. So he was just off absolutely. And I didn't know where the papers were stored. Got my list here. Says he left the Senate in 2017. He didn't know what it... He said to Trump when Trump won the election in 2017. And then they had to correct him. They said, They said that Trump won the election, which he didn't win the election in 2017. He said he won the election. Biden says that Trump won the election in November of 2017. They had to say, no, that's actually 2016. And he had to ask them, So Trump was sworn in on January of 2000. Actually, first thing he goes, why do I have 2017 written down here? As if he cannot figure out how somebody gets elected in 16 and sworn in 17. He can't figure it out. He's, I mean, obviously, he himself won in 2020 and was sworn in 2021. But he couldn't figure out why it is that he had on his notes that Trump won the presidency in November of 2017, which was actually 2016. And then he had to ask her or his aides around him. So Trump was sworn in on the 20th of January of 2017 then. And they were like, yes, this is the man who has his finger on the nuclear button. I mean, imagine that we were on the cusp of nuclear war in several different areas under his administration because he was completely incompetent, which, by the way, yes, he's incompetent. That's just a de facto fact. Imagine the people actually running the country, which I believe was a combination of Susan Rice, Ron Klain, Antony Blinken, and Barack Obama. They were all running the country. They just sequestered and corralled the cackler into, Kamala, go travel around and find the root causes of migration. See you later. See you in 6 months. That's what they did with the cackler in chief. But anyway, so those are the people that were running the country. All of those, we need to just let, I'm not criminally, Biden needs to be criminally prosecuted. He won't be, but he needs to be. Needs to be criminally prosecuted. But anyway, for numerous things. But as far as responsibility, it's now been proven that every single order that he signed was auto pen. So we need to figure out, which invalidates many things, including his pardons, his preemptive pardons, namely. But so we need to figure out who exactly it was that was running the country and what we can say, how incompetent are those people? I mean, because they're really, you have the new war in Gaza, Israel-Gaza, Israel-Palestine conflict, had the Houthi war, where they're bombing American ships and allied ships. You had China doing military amphibious landing exercises basically right next to Taiwan and has Taiwan encircled with their Navy. And then, of course, Russia invading Ukraine, all of which happens under Biden. And then you have, of course, the abomination at the Abbey Gate in Afghanistan, $86 billion worth of high-tech American military equipment left on the ground, making the PLA of Afghanistan, the People's Liberation Army of Afghanistan, the 26th largest army overnight. Not to mention the drone strikes that killed a family of 10, seven of which were children, in retaliation for Abbey Gate. So you kill children in retaliation for Abbey Gate, up which they had a 12-hour window. They had 12-hour warning that there was a Unabomber coming to the Abbey Gate. Even had him sighted in by a sniper, of which CENTCOM Commander McKenzie, no command ever got to the sniper to take out the Unabomber. So all 13 Americans died, as well as hundreds of Afghans, and those were all our allies, waiting at Hamid Karzai Airport to get on the planes. Remember the people? Another thing, the national abomination of our allies inside of Afghanistan, holding on to C-130s until they're 1,000 feet in the air and then dropping off like flies, although they can't fly. I mean, when does that ever happen in American history? Can anybody name it? Where you have C-130s flying off of people on the landing gear and the landing gear retracts and the people fall to their death, 1,500-foot death? All under the Biden administration, looking at his watch when the 13 came back from the Abbey Gate. All of those abominations. So Biden is what Biden is, and he was an empty shell of a man. But Blinken was running the country. Susan Rice was running the country. Ron Klain was running the country, all through Barack Hussein Obama. And how incompetent are those four stooges? How incompetent are they? So here's Robert Herr, townhall.com video. Robert Herr was telling the truth. Play it for me.
There has been a lot of attention paid to language in the report about the president's memory. So let me say a few words about that. My task was to determine whether the president retained or disclosed national defense information willfully. That means knowingly and with the intent to do something the law forbids. I could not make that determination without assessing the president's state of mind. For that reason, I had to consider the president's memory and overall mental state and how a jury likely would perceive his memory and mental state in a criminal trial. These are the types of issues that prosecutors analyze every day. And because these issues were important to my ultimate decision, I had to include a discussion of them in my report to the Attorney General. The evidence and the president himself put his memory squarely at issue. We interviewed the president and asked him about his recorded statement, quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. He told us that he didn't remember saying that to his ghostwriter. He also said he didn't remember finding any classified material in his home after his vice presidency. And he didn't remember anything about how classified documents about Afghanistan made their way into his garage. My assessment in the report about the relevance of the president's memory was necessary and accurate and fair.
And he gets attacked by the Democrats. I mean, I'll play one here in Raskin in just a second, but he gets attacked by the Democrats. How dare you put that in your report that he is an elderly man who struggles with memory? Did anybody listen to the tapes? Oh, that's right. Nobody listened to the tapes because Merrick Garland refused to release them. So all the Democrats are speaking out of their pie holes in pure ignorance. Now what do they think? And I'm going to see if it was me, if it was Aaron, if it was Brent, if it's either one of any of you guys out there that are watching online or on Christian Television Network right now, you would all be sprinting to a podium and saying, you know what? Were we wrong. We were really wrong to attack Robert Hur. And by the way, I don't even like Robert Hur because Biden should have been criminally charged. He doesn't remember that he had classified documents in Willow Beach. He doesn't know how they got there. Doesn't know how they got to the Penn Biden Center. Didn't know he had classified documents. Didn't remember saying to his ghostwriter that he has the classified documents. He's bringing them up from downstairs. Doesn't remember any of that, even though the ghostwriter actually wrote that down and then got caught trying to erase it and nearly got arrested for obstruction for trying to erase it. Okay, let me just show you this. Let me just tell you this. From a law enforcement perspective, why would you have to include his mental state? I remember a diatribe by Shifty Schiff about how Hur was torpedoing Biden's political aspirations, the aspirations of the Democratic Party, by demeaning Joe Biden by attacking his mental state. I want to just bring this up to you. Do you know that all these people are former prosecutors? Adam Schiff, that lying, repulsive, disgusting, demonic human being, actually had people's lives in his hands as a prosecutor. He had to make sworn statements. I mean, he made sworn statements. He would sign documents swearing that it was the truth. He was deciding whether or not to prosecute people. Do you ever trust Adam Schiff to prosecute somebody? Making life and death freedom versus incarceration decisions. And so he's attacking her about, you know, torpedoing Biden by including his mental state. And he kept saying to her, I should probably just brought the video, but I just don't want to sit there and watch Shift if I don't have to. But anyway, so he's attacking her, you know, for torpedoing Biden. And he's saying to her, you ought to know better. You're a career prosecutor. Has Adam Schiff ever heard of the word intent? Does he realize that in every crime, you are assessing the mental state of the defendant, of the suspect? How are you going to charge him with a crime if you don't decide whether or not they have intent? So you're always assessing the mental state. So when he's assessing Joe Biden, he's assessing whether or not Joe Biden had cognitive intent to commit a crime, which he obviously did. Even in his diminished state, he had classified documents. And by the way, he had those classified documents since the 90s, so it has nothing to do with his current state of mind. Robert Hur, he's one of these, again, it's like all of them, whether it's David Weiss or Trey Gowdy, people like that, put on this big show. They never actually do anything. They never actually do one thing, ever. Nothing ever really happens. They put on a big show. You have Gowdy, he's like a national hero. He was a national hero for me too, by the way. I was totally taken in. When he's interrogating Hillary Clinton and he was interrogating James Comey, like, man, this guy's got it together. He's like, that was just a show. Giving him a veneer of legitimacy. He's a fraud. He's a complete fraud, never accomplishes anything. Never accomplishes one thing. None of them ever do. No special prosecutor, nothing, unless they're prosecuting Republicans. So here's Raskin, Western Lensman video. Flashback, Jamie Raskin calls Robert Hur's accurate assessment of Biden's cognitive issues ridiculous cheap shots. Play for me.
Does this raise alarms about whether President Biden is fit to serve another term in office?
Well, undoubtedly, that's what Robert Herr, who comes from my state, he's a Maryland Republican, undoubtedly, that's what he intended to do with those ridiculous cheap shots. I just spent an hour with President Biden and the entire Democratic caucus, where he regaled and entertained everyone for an hour and went through all of the extraordinary accomplishments of his administration, including the Inflation Reduction Act. We've got the best economy in the world right now, the creation of millions and millions of jobs, just an extraordinary record to run on. So they're going to come up with some cheap shots.
I mean, see, Jamie Raskin should be sprinting to a podium right now and saying, I'm sorry, I lied. I mean, he's been completely exposed. We're supposed to believe. Now, remember, this was after that interview that Jamie Raskin allegedly, where Jamie Raskin was allegedly at an event with Joe Biden, where Joe Biden regaled them with great stories of all of his administration's accomplishments, which was absolutely nothing, including the Inflation Reduction Act, which was the Inflation of Inflation Act. But anyway, which was just the Green New Deal is all that it was, with tons of money going to NGOs to fund solar panels bought in China. But anyway, enriching Democrats. But Biden should be sprinting to, Raskin should be sprinting to a podium right now saying, wow, I looked really stupid. I would. These tapes have been released. This is after that interview. He's claiming that he was at a party with Joe Biden where Joe Biden's regaling them with all these stories about his administration's accomplishments. He was all with it. Did he listen to that tape? That guy's with it. You don't pull it together. That was Joe Biden actually at his best in that Robert Herr interview. So here he is, Mr. Western Lensman Video, Jake Tapper. Here he is, the author of the Original Sin book, which, by the way, he's going to shamelessly pimp on his own show. I mean, how sad is that? But anyway, Jake Tapper, after hawking his book live on CNN, runs a clip of Trump saying Democrats hid Biden's cognitive issues. Jake Tapper at the end says, fact check true. Well, we could play you an hour's worth of Jake Tapper covering up. Remember the whole Laura Trump thing? Remember that? He actually accuses Laura Trump of making fun. Laura Trump says that he has a cognitive decline, which he obviously did, falling all over the place, couldn't get out of sentence. I mean, come on, he's reading off of teleprompters. Say again, repeat the line.
Pause.
I mean, it's obvious, and she's simply commenting off of it, and he attacks her for attacking his stutter, of which nobody's ever heard of and nobody's talking about since. It was a little one-liner for a week. What can we make up? Oh, he has a stutter. Okay, we'll use that. Anybody ever see Joe Biden stutter? Anybody ever? I've been watching video of Joe Biden since the late 80s. Not one time has the man ever had a stuttering problem. Not one time. But yet Jake Tapper, this guy right here, who's now selling a book exposing the cover-up. He is the cover-up. What's happening now is a cover-up of the cover-up, of which, again, he's part of that cover-up. He was part of the original cover-up at the command of the Mockingbird Media, which is basically the CIA, which is basically establishment DC. So while Biden was in office, Jake Tapper was assigned as a good, loyal Goebbels Media pundit, covered up. And now he's being told, cover up the cover-up. I mean, imagine living like this if you're this guy. I mean, how does he look himself in the mirror? How does he communicate with other people? How does he look his children in the eye? You covered it up, and now you're writing a book trying to cover up the cover-up while you're claiming that you had no part in the original cover-up. Play it for me.
Congratulations in my upcoming book with Alex Thompson. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. It's on Biden's decline. It's called Original Sin. The book and excerpts and reviews and such have resurfaced the conversation about age and President Biden's aging. And there's been a lot of talk about the unreleased as yet audio of Biden's 2023 interviews with special counsel Robert Herr. Those interviews, among other factors, led Herr and his team of prosecutors to conclude that while they thought Biden mishandled classified information, they couldn't successfully prosecute him because a jury would not convict, quote, a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory, unquote. They didn't think they could get a conviction. Today, President Trump was asked whether he will release the audio of the tapes, which prior Attorney General under Joe Biden, Merrick Garland, had blocked from release.
That's up to Pam and the group.
I haven't really looked into it. Look, everybody understands the condition of him. I know people that are 89, 90, 92, 93 years old that are literally perfect. But Joe was not one of them. And they did a lot of hiding.
Fact check, true.
And Jake, you're guilty of doing it. Imagine having the chutzpah audacity to write a book about that, again, alleging that there was a cover-up of which you participated in, and now you're writing a book as if you didn't, as if you're now exposing it. This is just so typical. I mean, the next thing we're going to hear is, oh my gosh, the vaccines never stopped transmission or infection. We breaking news, we've exposed it. You know, just like they do now. Oh, it did come from the lab. We knew it came from the lab. We knew. Listen, Aaron and I, back in early 2020, had the Australian lab report that said it came from a lab. This is while Fauci was busy redacting his documents from his other officials saying that it came from a lab and then paying them each a couple $1 million into their various NGO foundations so that they would then change from lab origin to natural origin. It's all in the, and oh, look at what we've discovered. And that, and what they do is so cheap, and I don't even know if I can put it into words. It's so cheap. What they do, it's like, it's just like Biden. In 2024, in basically March, April of 2024, he decides that he wants to do comprehensive border reform. After all of 2021, 22, and 23, and half of 2024, the border being wide open and him allowing in 15,000 people a day, upwards of 20 million people into the country. Then suddenly, so they think that they're going to go back in time. And look, right here is when you know, I decided to close the border. Therefore, I'm a closed border politician. No. For 3.5 of your 4-year presidency, you're wide open. It doesn't eradicate your first 3.5 years because you decided for political purposes and for election purposes to change policy. It doesn't eradicate your 3.5 years of open border policies. So they always think. So Tapper thinks, I'm going to write this book as if you can be proactively reactive. You can't be. It's over, Jake. We have the video. You're a TV anchor. We have the video of you covering up for Biden, and now you're writing a book. You're like, Tom, get past Tapper. I can't get past the audacity of these people. If it was me, it's just like, you know, you come in and your dog got in the trash. He's laying there with his tail between his legs. That would be me. If I was the one who propagandized that Biden was perfectly healthy, ripped into Laura Trump, falsely accusing her of making fun of Joe Biden's stutter that he doesn't have. I love how they just make things up. You're making fun of his stutter that he never has. You know, just like put on a mask for a disease that can't hurt you. I mean, all their arguments make absolutely no sense. They're solving problems that don't exist. All right, so moving on, I just had to throw in two little bonus Biden stories here that are breaking. Adam Hughes' video, weaponization, this is John Solomon from Just the News, declassified documents released by DNI Tulsi Gabbard. So we had Pam Bondi releasing the Robert Hur video. So things are happening. This is great. It's the greatest time ever to be American right now. Listen, has Bondi done everything we wanted? No, maybe she is trying. We need to, again, give her a chance. And we haven't been real thrilled with Cash Patel either. So we'll see. Hopefully, you know, new stuff came out about him. He is, you know, appears to be abandoning Quantico, the Hoover building. He does appear to be getting out of it. He said day one. I'll take it if it's day 113. It's not bad. So declassified documents released by DNI, Tulsi Gabbard, confirmed the Biden administration, not the DOJ, the Biden administration authorized federal law enforcement in June of 2021 to target Americans for concerning non-criminal behavior, focusing on gun owners, military personnel, and those spreading what it deemed as disinformation. Play for me.
This is something we began a few weeks ago when Tulsi Gabbard released some newly declassified documents. We've all been wondering the last few years whether the targeting of school parents or traditional Catholics or gun owners or Trump supporters was random and the result of just a few bad actors within federal law enforcement. Today, we can confirm it was at the direction of the Biden administration and a specific plan written in June 2021. Take a look at this document up here on screen. It shows without a doubt the Biden administration authorized federal law enforcement 4 years ago to target Americans engaged in, quote, concerning non-criminal behavior. They did this in the name of fighting domestic terrorism, but basically they were targeting people who weren't committing crimes. And it had a specific eye on those serving in the military, owning guns, or spreading what officials considered to be disinformation, which in many cases turned out to be true information that the Biden administration just simply disagreed with. We now know this because Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard recently released a fully unredacted version of the prior administration's, quote, strategic implementation plan for countering domestic terrorism. It might otherwise be known as the plan to get conservatives. The memo fully exposes for the first time the law enforcement intelligence framework under President Joe Biden that led the FBI to probe conservative Catholics and parents protesting school board policies, Homeland Security, to engage in all that censorship we've chronicled on the show, and financial regulators to debank gun owners, lawful gun owners.
The answer is not, didn't go through back channels. It was ordered by Joe Biden or Antony Blinken, Susan Rice, Ron Klain, or Barack Obama, who was ever running the country. They ordered the FBI under Christopher Wray, who said the number one threat to America is white supremacist terrorism, that again doesn't exist, a problem that doesn't exist that they address. It's like, you know what, we're going to go after Donald Trump for crimes that don't exist. So they're going to address a problem that doesn't exist, because what they do is create problems or cause problems and then offer, of course, their totalitarian solutions, banana republic solutions. So they get this, June 2021, targeting Americans for concerning non-criminal behavior. What does that mean? If you can target Americans, and I just want to throw these numbers out to you in case I don't get to the Cash Patel video. And maybe I'll just skip it once I get to it, because it's just a video. And this is basically what I wanted from that video. How many FBI employees are there? Anybody know? I didn't know till today. How many FBI employees are there total? When they are fully staffed, which they're not currently fully staffed, because they've had a major problem recruiting because they're woke. 38,000. That's how many people work for the FBI. That's how many FBI agents there are. 38,000. Or that's their full staff. I can't say they're all agents. But that when they're fully staffed, 38,000 people working. How many of them work in Washington, D.C.? 11,000 of the 38,000 work in D.C. One-third of our national police force works inside the Beltway? Can anybody explain that to me? So one-third of our national police force, FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, they actually work inside of D.C.? This is why they all do. They're not out there chasing fentanyl. They're not out chasing child traffickers or child sex traffickers or child labor traffickers. They're not out trying to, arrest gang members. They're not trying to arrest cartel members. They're not trying to arrest mafia members. They're not doing any of that. What they're doing is targeting Americans for concerning non-criminal behavior. Why would you even care if it's non-criminal? What's concerning? Who gets to make that decision, Aaron? Who makes that one? What court? Who decides concerning? You know, because I find a lot of urban behavior that I see very concerning, but yet it's not criminal. So concerning non-criminal behavior, target Americans for concerning non-criminal behaviors, focusing on gun owners, military personnel. They're always talking about, you know, we need to protect our veterans. No, they're focusing on veterans, trying to put them in prison. And those spreading what is deemed disinformation, often actually accurate views that conflicted with the administration's narrative. Obviously, once again, whether it's CISA, whether it's the National Endowment for Democracy, whether it's USAID, all these billions and billions of dollars funneled through NGOs to censor Americans and Americans abroad and American platforms abroad. So that's what was actually happening in America, was our FBI, who has 11,000 agents in D.C. Why? What are you doing? Does D.C. not have its own police force? It does, in fact, have a police force. Here's the thing, again, if you watch this podcast for any period of time, you know what I'm about to say. We did 11,000 FBI agents inside of the Beltway. When you have 2,400 Capitol Police officers for a 2.5-square-mile area. See, what's really hysterical about this, and I was talking to Brent about this, who worked in an urban area, he's a cop in Cincinnati. I guarantee you that the Cincinnati Police Department doesn't have 2,400 people, because I know what Seattle has. Seattle has under 800. Detroit has under 800. And a 2.5 square block mile area gets 2,400 cops, and you still need another 11,000 FBI agents in the same area to do, not to mention DC Metro Police. Does everybody get that? Did everybody get this? Capitol Police, 2,400 of them just for the Capitol. That's it. 2,400. That's not the Secret Service. That's just to guard Chuckie Schumer and Nancy Pelosi so that she can make her multi-million-dollar stock trades. That's it. That's not DC Metro Police. That's where Fanone came from. He's DC Metro Police. So you got the entire giant Metro DC police force. You have the Capitol Hill Police Force and 11,000 FBI agents, all for Washington D.C. They don't call themselves elites. So Cash Patel is redistributing those 11,000 throughout the country, starting with 1,500 people. Whoop, gone. Should be all 11,000. Why do you need any in D.C.? What are the crimes that the FBI would address in Washington, D.C.? Anybody guess? None. What? What crimes would they address in Washington, D.C.? There aren't any federal crimes in Washington, D.C. Local crimes, certainly. And it's actually out of control. All right, let's go to the next thing. So Benny Johnson video breaking. Associate Deputy AG Ed Martin. Now remember, Ed Martin was one torpedoed by Tommy Tillis. Because Ed Martin makes, what controversial, although they're not controversial at all, comments about what happened on J6. In other words, probably because Tom Tillis believes that that's disinformation. But he makes proper and accurate comments about J6 and about the infiltration of FBI assets, State Department assets inside of the J6 crowd. He made accurate assessments about it, which they end up having to confess to. Remember, Ray wouldn't answer and basically said no, that they didn't have any assets inside the crowd. I can't say he never said no. But he basically just wouldn't answer, and then it turns out they had 26 of them, and then they had far more than that. So those are the things Ed Martin had said about it. So, of course, they then have to torpedo him. Tom Tillis, who is the senator out of North Carolina, where they were setting up the Oath Keepers. I'm trying to remember the other organization's name. Proud Boys. And then there's one other one, too. They're setting up the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys via FBI texts and emails to meet and gather weapons inside of North Carolina. And that's how they end up charging. Like, I don't know this for sure. I'm just assuming that's how they ended up charging Enrique Tarrio and putting him in prison for 22 years when he never stepped foot in D.C. But anyway, so they had the FBI setting up another Whitmer kidnapping hoax inside of North Carolina. It's absolutely proven. It's documented. And lo and behold, the senator out of North Carolina torpedoes the guy who will expose North Carolina. Strange how that works, isn't it? Weird. So here's Ed Martin speaking with Benny Johnson, Associate Deputy AG Ed Martin drops major J6 pipe bomber news. Biden covered it up. Here's more on Biden. He's seen the footage and new evidence. Suspects are revealed. Biden sat on the case for 4 years. Play for me.
It just seems like the Southern District of New York obviously was such a problem. James Dennehy got fired. He threw himself a damn parade, Ed. I couldn't believe it. This is where Maureen Comey works. It'd be great to see her reassigned to Guam. I mean, yeah, great, fine. You know, like, fantastic. And enjoy Guam, prosecuting, beach case, building a hut on the beach cases. But, it just makes no sense to me. And the Epstein thing has been such a thorn in the paw. Right. And the destruction of evidence, the way that James Comey so willingly destroyed criminal evidence last night and then lied to the American public about it was just perfect for me, Ed. It was like, wow, this is how the guy operates. And maybe this is why there's no Epstein evidence left. Right. Or maybe this is why it's so hard for Pam Bondi or Trump administration to get information about a January 6th bomber, the pipe bomber. It's like you can see how the operation, works.
Let me jump in on that one for you. The pipe bomber's out of my old office where I was U.S. attorney. When I got briefed on it, I said, what are we doing? Basically, they did nothing for all 4 years of the Biden administration. OK, so they sat around and sat on the case. And, people say, what did you do? Well, we put new eyes on the case. We demanded that they start questioning people. And that investigation, Benny. So that investigation is now about 3 months old because it sat for 4 years. And so we're picking up a four-year investigation this late and going into it, and we're in the middle of it. We've got, hot suspects. We've got more data. We're working on more phones, and we're actually running the case. Now you say to yourself, what the hell, Ed? Arrest somebody. Well, I'm just telling you, we're basically in month three of something that sat for almost 4 years, or more than 4 years. And so unsatisfactory, unbelievable. Again, I talked to Tulsi Gabbard about that case specifically today, about some of the things that we know, about some of the participants in January 6th that have yet to be revealed, that were working in various parts of the government. You know, we don't have enough transparency on that. Benny, one of the reasons why, Tom Tillis made a terrible mistake in blocking me, he said he was worried about January 6th. I say thank you, because now I'm in charge of weaponization of government, and all these things are coming out, and we're coming out hard. And I'll tell you this, I care less right now about who I can prosecute than I do about getting the truth out, because we can't do this fast enough. Prosecutions, they tie us up, and we'll get prosecutions, but they tie us up. I want to know now. Who did this stuff, right? I want to know who was there. People tell me, the government wasn't involved in January 6th, except a few agents. Prove it, because I know every other setting where 500,000 or 1 million people gather, every law enforcement embeds somebody. You know it, I know it, everyone knows it, and they know it. We need to stop screwing around and get this out. And that's where I'm going next. For 3 months, 4 months, I've been beating the heck out of DC and the system to make it safer and to make people pay attention to what the priorities of this nation are. And now I'm done here. I've got to go over there and do it. And we just got to get after it.
It's rock star move, man. I can see why Trump wants you in this position. And we're really big time team Ed Martin. You just speak in our love language here on the J6 pipe bomber.
The language, hey Benny, the language is not enough, you know. And I promise you, if I'm still talking and not doing, you come up and whack me like you do. Spitting, and I appreciate it.
You're spitting fire, brother. Okay, so you're speaking my love language.
I see. And don't you wish that he was the district attorney for Washington, D.C., the U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia? Don't you wish that he was? Because that's exactly what we needed. So Biden knew all the evidence, and obviously it's massive, obvious cover-ups that nobody does anything about, because the police are all corrupt. The FBI is corrupt. D.C. Metro is corrupt. The Capitol Police are corrupt. Everybody's corrupt. Congress is corrupt. The Senate is corrupt, both Republican and Democrat. Lifelong Republican will always be a Republican, but the Republican Party is corrupt. Look at what Mike Johnson is not doing right now, not voting today, because the Congress was closed today. For what reason? Nobody knows. 2 days last week, completely closed. Nobody knows. Also, they can delay the Trump agenda, of which Mike Johnson is part of doing. So, I mean, Biden sat on this case for 4 years. I mean, look at all the evidence, whether it's what the Secret Service, who was a big part of the pipe bomber case, the Secret Service, lo and behold, they had a data reset, whatever, all their phones had to be reset, and it wiped out all their phones exactly for J6.
Right, just for that.
Lo and behold, they had to do a factory reset on all of their phones on J6, and we're just supposed to buy that. Remember Kim Cheadle, that was who ran the Secret Service at the time, who's responsible for Trump being shot in the head in Butler, Pennsylvania? And boy, there's a Mike Benz 20-minute video that I'm going to dissect. I already have it stored about the shooting in Butler. Wait till you see that, about the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, connections with Thomas Crooks and Ryan Routh. Both, everybody know, I mean, I can't give it enough. I can't give it its due, so I'm going to wait till Monday, but you're going to have to hear it. But I've got it stored. I'm going to break it up and send it in Aaron. But anyway, so Biden just sat on this case. So, and lo and behold, also, in D.C., everything you do, every last step you make is videotaped. Everything. Videotape is not the right word anymore. It's recorded now. Yeah. Everything is recorded. But lo and behold, they can't track this guy anywhere. It's blatantly obvious and has been proven by people like Darren Beatty that they cut up the video. The FBI, that's the FBI who put out the video on the pipe bomber, they cut it up. They cut out pieces of it where you would actually see him place the bomb and could actually see his face. They cut that out. They're releasing this video to the public, but cut out all the pertinent parts of the video. And by the way, there's somebody who had to be running those cameras. Those cameras are not automatic. They're actually run via a toggle switch by an in-person human. So that person saw it too, was actually purposely videotaping that. And you can't find that bomber? Everything's recorded. No matter where you go, the moment he records, down the street, down to wherever he parked his car, parking garages, transit, buses, trains, planes, everything is recorded in D.C. Everything. You can't find the guy because he sat on it for 4 years because, of course, it was a deep state CIA, State Department, DHS, Secret Service op. It was either a training op gone very bad or a setup, a backup in case J6 didn't go the way that they wanted it to, which it did. They wanted to orchestrate a violent protest, a riot that they could call an insurrection. And if that didn't work, they were going to say there was an insurrection attempt at the DNC or the RNC. But Biden did absolutely nothing with it. I could do a four-hour show on the bomber alone, which we're not going to do. Let's go to the border for a couple minutes. Davery Darkin's video, breaking MS-13 gang member arrested by ICE after being shielded by sanctuary Fairfax County, Virginia. Play for me.
I mean, this one's getting a lot of attention, and we're going to get to this Jim Comey story in just a moment. But I want to tell you this right now. This is breaking right now. An exclusive out of Fairfax, Virginia, that involves the arrest of a documented MS-13 member. National correspondent Griff Jenkins breaking this news for us, and he joins me now with more. Hi, Griff.
Yeah, Martha, this is unbelievable. Talk about a sanctuary jurisdiction shielding a criminal alien in Fairfax County. In this case, Fox just exclusively learning from ICE, they arrested an illegal Guatemalan alien earlier this week named Michael Santos Santos, a documented MS-13 gang member. Martha, he has more than 15 pages of criminal history in ICE's database. He was arrested some 30 times by Fairfax County police, and ICE has lodged 16 different immigration detainers against him in the past 3 years, all of which have been denied. Now, ICE made the arrest on May 12th, and ICE tells Fox News this in a statement, quote, "We find it inexcusable that local law enforcement refused to honor 16 separate immigration detainers against Santos Santos, forcing ICE officers to make an at-large arrest where one of our officers was injured." And get this, between February 20th, 2020 and May 8th, 2025, Fairfax County Police arrested Santos on those 30 times, charging him with things like assault and battery, drug possession, intent to distribute, burglary, theft, larceny, trespassing, property damage, and the list goes on and on.
I mean, does everybody get this level of treasonous activity that's going on in leftist counties, leftist states, and leftist cities? I mean, get this. MS-13 gang member, there he is. Imagine if your daughter walked in with that. Oh. Brett's response was, I'd slap him, then slap her. All right, which I agree 100%. MS-13 gang member arrested by ICE after being shielded by Sanctuary Fairfax County, Virginia, which is basically Washington, D.C. He has more than 15 pages of criminal history. He's illegal MS-13 gang member in this country. How does he survive deportation for all of these years when you have a 15-page criminal history? And by the way, just so you know, if you ever run a criminal history as a cop before, a lot goes on one page of criminal history because this doesn't deal with a lot of different things. It's basically blanket information. He was arrested 30 freaking times, that's my own words, by Fairfax County Police, and ICE lodged 16 different immigration detainers against him in the past 3 years, all of which were not obeyed. Federal prison. Federal prison for those people, because by the way, it's not outside of the statute of limitations. They all need to be criminally charged. If we don't do it, folks, God forbid J.D. Vance is not the next president, or somehow Trump runs again, Trump or Vance is not the next president, and we end up with a Democrat, everything that Trump does has done will be reversed. Everything on day one. So we need to be putting people who have committed legitimate crimes in prison. If you have received an ICE detainer and you don't obey it, that is felonious obstruction of a federal agent. Does that make sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
I mean, what are you? How can you say you get an ICE detainer? This guy was arrested 30 times. 30 times. ICE lodged 16 different immigration detainers. For a myriad of felonies, this guy was arrested. And they don't obey it 16 times? These people need to be arrested for felonious obstruction of a federal agent. All of them. We can't get down to that level. Okay, then just know that they're going to come after all the people on our side when they take power. Just know that if we don't make them live with their policies and their procedures and their own agenda, which is to arrest your political opposition, ban your political opposition, censor your political opposition, bankrupt your political opposition, if we don't make them live with their own procedures, policies, and agendas, then they're going to continue to inflict them upon us. Bannon and arrested and prosecuted and convicted. Navarro arrested, prosecuted, and convicted. Donald Trump arrested, prosecuted, and convicted. Holmes raided, Giuliani, Trump, Navarro, Navarro wasn't raided, but he was perp walked through an airport. General Mike Flynn, arrested, prosecuted, and convicted. He signed a plea, and then Sidney Powell reversed it, so not officially convicted. For crimes that don't even exist. Not to mention Roger Stone raided, arrested, prosecuted, and convicted, and pardoned. You know, you think that if we don't arrest these people, that they're going to lay off of us next time? Does that ever work with a leftist? Ever? Well, it'll be nice to them, and if I'm nice to them, they'll be nice to me? No, they see niceness as weakness, which it is, by the way. You let this guy, arrested 30 times, back out into the wind? Look at that guy. How's he even in the country? How did he survive his first arrest? All right, let's go to the next one. Gateway Pundit, here's the reasons why. Breaking, Supreme Court fails us again. Three of the Supreme Court justices that Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Coney Barrett that he put in office voted against Donald Trump. That he nominated to the Supreme Court. Breaking, Supreme Court blocks Trump from deporting Venezuelan gang members under the Alien Enemies Act. Alito and Thomas with a sole dissent, 7-2 loss. We're supposed to have a 6-3 advantage in the Supreme Court, but of course we know John Roberts is best friends with Norm Eisen. They vacation together. That's just simply the truth. Simply the truth. With Norm Eisen, who is left of Satan. Here's the article from the, just leave this up. Here's the article from the Gateway Pundit. Just brief, a snippet from the article. The U.S. Supreme Court on Friday temporarily blocked the Trump administration from deporting dangerous Venezuelan gang members under the Alien Enemies Act. In an unsigned, here we go again, Aaron, here we go, Brent, the unsigned order, which they know what's going to happen is, what they do, is this is delay, 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 which all rhinos are a part of, including Mike Johnson. This is delay. It's John Thune, John Cornyn, these alleged Republicans. Why would you, if you're a Republican, then why would you delay the agenda of a Republican president who's a conservative? Because you're not really a conservative and you're not really a Republican. That's why you're doing it. This is delay because they actually have no standing to rule in this case because it has to go back to the federal court first because the federal court, like Triple Dog Dare, was skipped and sent right to the Supreme Court. Yeah, you had to have an appellate ruling first before it went to the Supreme Court. That's why it's an unsigned. I would give the official terminology. The unsigned order, because they know it. Mike Davis will explain it better than me in just a second. But they know that it's not going to stand because what they're doing is delaying it, which we've already seen happen before. You had the one case where Donald Trump was banned from cutting funding to an NGO, and it had to be outlined what specific funds had to be banned. So they bantered back and forth. Well, that's all to delay Donald Trump's agenda from actually being put in place. So they know this, and it's just ping-ponging back and forth so that, sadly, Neil Gorsuch bent over. Neil Gorsuch, that's that one I did not expect. Kavanaugh, I mean, squishy. Amy Coney Barrett wants to be best friends with the other ladies in the court, and John Roberts is best friends with Norm Eisen. So I expect certain behaviors from them, but not Neil Gorsuch. Freaking pathetic, Neil. Pathetic. In an unsigned order, the high court said the Trump DOJ did not give the Venezuelans enough time to challenge their removals. When Bill Clinton deported 12 million people in 8 years, did they all get enough time to challenge their removals? How about the 3 million under Hussein Obama, and the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 million under George W. Bush. Were they all given enough time to challenge their removals? They were simply removed, and nobody challenged it. It's simply being challenged now, so Trump gets defeated. It's simply being challenged now, so as many of these illegals that as possible stay in this country, because that is the agenda. That is the globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist agenda worldwide, the WEF agenda worldwide, the Glasgow's climate agenda worldwide, to flood first world countries with third world aliens who have no heritage connection to the Constitution. So they're very easily globally governed. That's the point of it all. So here you have the Supreme Court acting on behalf of the Democratic Party and Rhino Republicans like Cornyn and Thune and Johnson to delay the agenda of Donald J. Trump. Under these circumstances, notice roughly 24 hours being removed. This is from the people who made this. You have the actual ruling, the people that made the ruling, seven of the justices, and then you have the dissent by Alito wrote one of the dissents. So here is the majority narrative. Under these circumstances, notice roughly 24 hours before removal, devoid of information about how to exercise due process rights to contest that removal, surely does not pass muster. So they're saying that giving one of these illegals with a final order of removal, 24 hours that they're going to be removed, is not due process. What, again, they're illegal. Why are we talking about due process with people who don't have due process? And if they had any due process whatsoever, it's simply to be removed. That's your due process. Are you an illegal? Yes. You have no process. There's no due process for an illegal. Now, here's what Alito wrote. I cannot join the decision of the court. First and most important, we lack jurisdiction. It's like I just said. It has to go through the appellate system first. The Fifth Circuit, I think it is. And it wasn't. It was just skipped onto the Supreme Court. And that's all on purpose. Because if you skip it to the Supreme Court, then it gets kicked back to the appellate court, which then kicks it back to the Supreme Court, at which time the Supreme Court will side with Donald Trump that he's able to remove illegal aliens under the Alien Enemies Act. I cannot join the decision of the court, first and foremost. We lack jurisdiction and therefore have no authority to issue any relief. You can't stop a president from deporting illegals who have no due process rights. Here's a great summation. Real America's Voice video. The Supreme Court doesn't have Trump's back. Mike Davis, play for me.
The president depends upon or looks to you for a lot of guidance. What's your recommendation tonight when he gets off the plane at midnight after sorting out the mess in the Middle East? Now he's got to come back to this. A downgrade on U.S. debt. Supreme Court at 7-2 doesn't have his back, including all three guys he appointed. He's going to be in a lovely mood because I told you that's not a pleasant flight back. He's getting in at midnight. What's your advice? Because he's going to give you a call. What are you going to tell him at midnight, sir?
Well, what's going to happen is this is going to get sent down to the Fifth Circuit. The Fifth Circuit's going to largely side with President Trump. They're going to make up some arbitrary number to 7 days, 14 days, 21 days of notice to appease the Supreme Court justices, give them time to change their tampons, and then this thing is going to resolve itself. So I would say to the president, just let's go through this process down to the expedited process down to the Fifth Circuit. Let the adults on the Fifth Circuit rule the way they're supposed to rule. At the end of the day, I would say to these Trump justices, if you are deciding a case and you see Justice Thomas and Justice Alito on one side, and you see Justice Kagan and Justice Jackson and Justice Sotomayor and the Chief Justice John Roberts on the other side, and you go with the liberal camp, you're absolutely wrong every time. You were wrong 4 weeks ago on Good Friday when you issued this lawless injunction against the president of the United States without a district court ruling, without an appellate court ruling, without a solicitor general brief. Just admit that you're wrong here. Have the modesty to admit you're wrong instead of punting this to the Fifth Circuit and letting the big boys on the Fifth Circuit clean up your work because you're too cowardly.
It's such a valid point there. And I give this both spiritually and politically right out of 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good morals. If you look around the room, and it actually says, be not deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. I'm always telling Christians, been on this lately, you hang around with the offended, you'll soon be offended. Simple as that. Bad company corrupts good morals. But anyway, You look around and you are Neil Gorsuch, you are Amy Coney Barrett, you are John Roberts, you are Brett Kavanaugh, and you notice that your cohorts, your compatriots, the people who decided the same as you, are Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor, and Ketanji Brown Jackson, who cannot define what a woman is. Those are the people who have the same decision as you, who made the same decision, same ruling as you. If you're making the same decisions as somebody as stupid as Ketanji Brown Jackson, Sotomayor, or Elena Kagan, this, you are the company that you keep. So you are therefore stupid yourself. How in the world does Neil Gorsuch make the same decision as Ketanji Brown Jackson? I mean, have you ever seen how stupid Sonia Sotomayor is? I mean, she's literally a stupid human being. Stupid. I mean, Ketanji Brown Jackson speaks for herself. Can you divine what a woman is? No, I can't. Oh, that's fantastic. She's going to make rulings based on hate crimes dealing with women.
She's not a biologist.
I mean, yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, again, was somebody raped with a female penis? This is a woman who has to make these decisions in court. She has to make decisions on labor laws dealing with women, but can't define a woman. Let me show you how corrupt the courts are. America First Legal tweet. These are the kind of institutions we need to send our money to. A Rhode Island federal judge who blocked President Trump's sweeping freeze on federal assistance. Here we go again. One of the 250 cases filed against Donald Trump earlier this year has been slapped with a complaint from a conservative legal group, America First Legal, alleging that he could benefit from his decision. Go to the next one for me. This will show you the New York Post. Judge who ruled against Trump funding freeze has ties to the taxpayer-funded homeless organization that the money was frozen from. Shocking. It's once again. Juan Merchan, Jeb Boasberg, now this Rhode Island judge. Same thing. Go to the next one for me. America First Legal tweet. Providence, Rhode Island District Judge Johnny McConnell sat on the board of Crossroads, Rhode Island, a homeless services provider that has benefited from federal assistance from 2006 to at least 2023, the nonprofit tax records show. So he is ruling on a case that he is directly first connected to, which means what? Automatic recusal. If you are in any way, shape, or form, whether it's personal or business, connected to a case, you recuse yourself. If he is somehow receiving funds by sitting on this board, he has no business ruling in a case where the funding of that organization that has the board is being determined. He has no, I mean, think about it. He's sitting on this Crossroads, Rhode Island board that's funded by an NGO that Trump has frozen the money into going into. And this judge is now going to rule whether or not Trump can financially benefit himself personally. A Rhode Island federal judge, look at this, who blocked Trump's sweeping freeze on federal assistance earlier this year, has been slapped with a complaint from a conservative legal group alleging that he could benefit from his decision. Same thing with Jeb Boasberg. Jeb Boasberg, D.C. judge, said that Donald Trump had to continue funding the NGOs that were financially benefiting his daughter and his wife, two separate NGOs. And now this judge is doing the same thing, that Donald Trump has to continue to fund the NGO that financially benefits himself. All right, that's good. Early show, 10:14, that's good. All right, Rumble Rants tonight. Chopper Supernut, one and only, $5. Thank you so much. Love you guys in the rant. Love you guys in the chat. Don't forget Foundation Church this Sunday. We had over 1,000 live viewers last week. Let's break the record. I think our record's 12 or 1,300. Let's break that record this week. Join us 10 o'clock Eastern time right here. Right, you see at the bottom, Foundation Church is pulling up. We're on Rumble. We're on everything unless we're banned. So if we're banned, go right to Rumble. Make Rumble your home. Sometimes we've had a little bit of conflicts with Rumble lately, but anyway, still love them. But anyway, join us at Foundation Church. Let's break the record. Listen, you got to have a church. Trump is great. Administration's great. Being an American is great, but it doesn't get you to heaven. You got to have Jesus. And if you want a church that's just like this podcast, unfettered, unchained, uncensored, you need to be at Foundation Church. I don't care if you live in Alaska. Join us online. Listen, if there's no good churches around you, just make us your home church no matter where you live. So join us this week. Aaron will take the stage. Aaron will be on the stage at 10 o'clock. You'll see him right around 10:15. You'll see me right at about 11. So join us at Foundation Church this Sunday starting at 10 a.m. If I don't see you then, I'll see you Monday as usual, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Love you guys. God bless you. See you Sunday or Monday. Bless you one more time.